Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we take you through slowly, methodically, show you a lot of hidden things in there. God says, it does my heart for kings to search out the mysteries in my word. So, you know, if you thought that just reading through one time, you got everything, you know, there's a lot of things. Sometimes single words make a complete difference in the meaning of the entire verse or chapter. You got to analyze, you got to look at it, you got to take it back to the Hebrew scriptures in their original text. Are perfect. This English Bible is not. If you've been with us long enough, you'll see there are errors in here. Not saying God's word is wrong, no. The intention in this book is absolutely perfect, but the English scribes didn't get exactly everything right. And in Genesis, for some reason, they softened things so that you couldn't understand what exactly happened in the garden. Catch episode 1 on WVFFradio.com. And you'll understand that this isn't the first time this world's been here. It's right there in Jeremiah. That's the beginning of the Bible. You didn't know that. Pastor never said that. He always said, turn to the beginning of your Bible. And you turn to Genesis, didn't you? No. The oldest reference in this Bible is in Jeremiah and possibly Job. I do believe Job comes from the first world that was here before. Complete civilization. God wiped it out with a flood, and he put out the sun that time. So there's no way you can say that's not. Every time I bring this up to a fellow Christian, oh, that's Noah's flood. Oh, no, it's not. He put out the sun. Well, it was cloudy because it was raining. I just got that the other night.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah. No, he put it out. And he said, in my wrath, I know one day my wrath will subside. One day, eons later. You know, day is to the Lord but 1,000 years. Eons later, we don't know how long he had put the light out, the sun. And he said, I know one day I will start again. And Jeremiah says, the earth was void and without form, and darkness covered the face of the earth. And you turn to Genesis, and it says, the earth was void and without form, and darkness covered the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light, for at least the second time. And there were two accounts of creation. On the sixth day, God created man, male and female. He created them. And he said, go and replenish the earth. That word right there changes everything. Wait a minute, replenish? Why didn't he say go and populate the earth?
Something was taken away?
Yeah, the replenish? I mean, if I dump water out of a gallon pitcher, and I take and fill it up again, I'm replenishing it because there was water in there before. There were people here before. And that, if you take the Bible in its totality, it ties science and God's word absolutely together. The world was here. Yes, it is millions of years old. Those fossils are correct. There were dinosaurs and man at the same time in the first creation. God didn't bring the dinosaurs along for the second one, though. Thank God.
Yeah, seriously.
Glad I don't have to be chased by raptors.
Yeah, a very strange place getting in your car and having to look over your shoulder at the same time.
Yes, yeah. I went and visited the Noah's Ark thing up in Tennessee. It was beautiful and great and gave you the a feeling of, oh my gosh, how could men of that time build this? But there's a lot of things in there that tells you Noah wasn't a normal man. When he was born, his father was fearful of him. He said he appears as a son of God. And he grew up to great stature. You have to go into the books of Jubilees and Jasher and Enoch. And you know what? Oh, well, those are not canonized. Well, you know what they were? They were in your Bible. They were in your Bible to the 1600s. And somebody that knows better than you decided that you didn't need to read that. Because if you read it all, the story becomes slightly different. And it ties all together. They don't want science and the Bible to tie together. Because as long as science can say, no, it's impossible, then it puts doubt in people's minds. But if you read between the lines, you read it all, over and over. I read this Bible over 100 times in its totality, and different passages hundreds of times. And on the 75th time, I would find something that I'd read so many times before, and it made it, give it a whole different meaning, because it just popped out. God says, I'll do that. You read my book earnestly, I will give you insight to my mysteries. So there were two accounts of creation. On the sixth day, he created man, male and female, created he them. He rested on the seventh day. Then there is a gap there. We don't know how long. You know, like the Bible says, a day in this earth is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Could be creation was 7,000 years. There's no way to tell. And if you read closely, has he brought forth the moving things, the little microscopic things in the water, and then turned them into whales and dolphins and all sorts of things? You know, God is the great technician. And they give you a little insight when he brought Eve on, too. He didn't just say, poop, there you go, Adam, here's your wife today. Yeah. No, he put him into a deep sleep. Yeah. Probably, I estimate, 30 to 30 years, because he placed a full-grown woman there after he had removed DNA material from him. For what purpose, scientists? They can do that now. And then the Bible says, in the end days, men will be doing the things that God does. Yep. Knowledge will be greatly increased, and man will put himself to the stars in his own mind. It's a lot of things going on. So after the seventh day, in that long gap, which there were already a male and female pop replenishing the earth, God says, oh, wait a minute. There's no man to tend my garden. The beautiful place that Jeremiah says was torn down when the earth was flooded last time. Overgrown, torn down. God, that was God's temple at the time. Place where he came to this earth. He said, there's no man to till my garden. Wait a minute, God. You created man on the sixth day. You rested on the seventh. And then sometime later you decide there was no. That's because he needed a priest. He needed a special man. Not one of those that he said to replenish the earth. Put bodies on the earth. That's what he said. Adam was never meant to procreate in the garden. So God says he took dust of the earth. He breathed into it. It's different than what it says on the sixth day. Sixth day says God created man, male and female, created them in his image. But he said he formed him specially, breathed a special spirit into him, and created him. Now watch this very carefully. Created him, male and female, created them, and called their name, Adam, one body, their name, male and female, created their name, Adam. It's, you know, there is so much between the lines. Oh, well, if there's two lines, creation, why can all of mitochondria and father and mother DNA go back to one person? Right there, because it was one. When he took the genetic material, the rib out of Adam, he created one identical but female. Same DNA, same everything. You trace one back, you get the other. There's so many things between the lines. And there were two babies in Eve's womb with two different fathers. Oh my gosh. Smash that radio, Herb. Smash it now. Blasphemy is coming over the airways. It's in there. Where did you ever even think about when he said to Eve, between your seed and his seed, talking to the serpent, there would be strife and enmity between your seed and her seed? Where did the serpent's seed come from? There was seduction in the garden. You got to look very close. He was more than just an apple. When she disobeyed God, the only sin in this Bible, disobedience, by 100 different other names, but it's still disobedience. When she disobeyed, this deluge of feelings and emotions came over her, and she was seduced. And she liked it, and she took it to her husband. Oh, well, you can't have two babies with two different fathers in the womb. Yes, you can. It happens every day in this world. And I'll tell you another little secret there. When Cain killed Abel, the Bible says a little bit later, and Adam had another son, and this one was in his image. Mm-hmm. Why would he do that, Jonathan?
Yeah. I mean, go out of his way to point it out.
Yes.
They did not look like the yes. same beings.
Yes. Yeah, and right at the time of the seduction, when she was seduced by the serpent, and she went to Adam, you got to look at one little word, and Jonathan caught this one the other day, and it says, and Adam knew his wife.
Yes, and.
And yes. Adam knew his wife also. Oh, I'm not making light of it. This is God's word. I'm making light of the fact that religion has tried to cover this over and make it softer. Oh, we can't have the mother of creation looking like that.
Right.
Let's write it in such a way that they'll just go past it. But God puts everything in here to where you can find it. You earnestly search it out and seek it out. Oh, there's so much. Each of these beginnings of each one of these episodes is getting longer and longer. I try to bring you all up to speed. But go back to WBFFradio.com and catch up with us. Your eyes will be opened. If you want to come to the studio with pitchforks and torches, that's okay. I'll send my 14-year-old dog out there. She'll
probably lick you.
Lick your leg. But no, it's all in good. I want the world to know, because if you understand this book, it ties it all together. Science and the Bible go hand in hand.
Yes.
It is millions of years old. The fossils are correct. You know, all these Christian apologists, these fossils were created by the massive amounts of pressure by the flood. No, they were not. They're real. It's all real. And we have, this Adamic line has only been here for 9,000 years, roughly. But but the other world was here before that. Possibly another one before that. Strange mysteries. They find little artifacts made of gold and brass. Thousands of years old that are detailed models of aircraft. There are stones in some of these buildings throughout the world that are heavier than we can lift now with all of our modern technology. Mm-hmm. Not let alone lift them, move them hundreds of miles. They know where they were excavated from. The holes are there. Some of the stones are half cut.
With laser precision.
Yes. You move this 1,000-ton block 200 miles and place it in this building? We can't do that today.
Yeah.
Cannot be done. But they knew things. They knew things. Gravity was different. Density was different. Vibration under heavier gravity was... I don't even understand it all, but I have a minuscule glimpse of how these things were done just from reading this book. So, we're in the middle of the book of Judges, one of my favorite books, because so much of this applies to everyday Christianity. Don't tell me you can't get things from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a warning to the Christian. It's mostly a warning about the law and what the law does. Law is bondage and separation from God and ends in death. And you're all born under it. Everyone that comes in this world is born into it and will die by the law unless they find Jesus Christ. Oh, well, you still die. Yeah, your body will die because that's the curse that comes from the garden. You cannot avoid that. We're only two men in this world that ever avoided that, and they will be back to die one day at the end, the two witnesses that stand before the God of the earth, Enoch and Elijah. God took them for a purpose because God does everything exactly the way he says he will do it. Every man is to be born and will die. Those two are needed for a purpose in the end days. They will come and they will have to face death. It's Jesus Christ died for your spirit man not to be dead. That's all that matters. That's the real person inside you. This flesh is a temporary. This is a temporary testing season. You know, you might get 70 years, 80 years. If you're really unlucky, you get 100, you might get 30 or 40 or 16. You know? But once you're past the age of understanding, and it's different with everyone, where you realize that the difference between good and evil, you have to make a choice. A choice is yours to be made. And if you've chosen Jesus Christ, Christian, and you still hold on to the law, you have told him what he does and what he did was just not quite good enough. So the children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt. The original covenant given to Abraham was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Everything else is legal for you, Abraham. Everything. Yeah. You know, if you're following me with all your heart, you'll know what's good for you, though. And you'll know what's bad for you. And you won't do what's bad for you. But they couldn't do it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did it. And his sons started falling off as soon as they came of season. You know? They threw their brother in a hole and sold him to Egypt. Evil. There's a spiritual war going on in this world between the seed of the serpent and the Adamic line. You know, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God said, the day you eat of the tree, you get this knowledge, you'll die. Well, no, he didn't want to kill them. Even though the sentence was passed, but under the law, if you sin, blood must be shed. But God took an innocent animal and he sacrificed it, and he covered their nakedness with the skins. That was a covering. Were the sins gone? No. But they were covered. Temporary covering. They tried to cover them with their hands. They tried to sew together fig leaves and cover their nakedness. But you cannot. And that's what the law gives you. It gives you things you can do with your hands to try to cover your sins. It's a carnal, futile effort. So the children of Israel could not follow God's first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments, Pastor. Read your book. Yeah, that book. Not the other one. Not the one the Methodist Church gave you to read. The Bible. Sorry, Methodists. I love you guys. It's the first covenant was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. When they couldn't do that, God put the law. He placed the law on the 12 patriarchs. He didn't place it on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When they came out of Egypt, their clans, the 12 clans, as soon as they came out of Egypt, they showed God they would not follow him with all their heart. So he says, okay, you don't want to do it the easy way. We're going to do it the hard way. He built this law, and it's an ever-building thing over about 80 years. The law just builds and builds and builds. It becomes more and more and more. Every day a new statute, because every day a new sin. Every day a new trespass. And it became such a monumental volume of laws that you can sin accidentally. You can sin and not even know it. You know, chances are you were sinful all the time because you might have touched a doorknob that an unclean person touched. Might have sat in a chair where an unclean person had sat. You might have picked up a handful of dirt and there was a dead critter in it. What a horrible way to live. And God put this bondage on them so that one day they would cry out for the simplicity of what the Messiah would bring back. Jesus Christ brought back the simplicity of the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart, be baptized. One is a spiritual thing. The man, the spirit man, whom God says I place in the heart, because the mind of man is contrary to the will of God, and the flesh is an abomination. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. The other is an outwardly expression, showing your neighbor that you follow Christ. You know, back under the law, you showed your neighbor that you were following God by keeping the Sabbath holy. You know, following all the exact rules for all of the celebrations and all of the holy holidays. You know, dare you miss Passover out hunting with your buddies. Forget about Passover. You're banished. You're done. Well, yeah, but you're supposed to keep the Sabbath holy. That's why I don't do anything on Sunday. Yeah, my wife, she does all the cooking on Saturday. So that we can keep the Sabbath holy. Yeah. I won't even help my neighbor push his car out of the ditch on Sunday. I'll push my own out of the ditch on Sunday, but...
You feed my dogs.
Yeah, yeah, and my neighbor, he'll help me push mine out of the ditch on Sunday, but... I got news for you. You caused your wife to sin. Saturday's the Sabbath. That day you went fishing and she was doing the cooking, you were transgressing the law. Sunday's a pagan holiday. Come from Rome.
Son.
If you want to follow this law, the Bible says you must follow it exactly. You want to hold on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. You can't make a mistake and keep Sunday holy and go fishing on Saturday. You must keep it all. Otherwise, you tell Jesus Christ, what you did, Lord, just was not good enough for me. God forbid you go under the banner of Christian to meet your Maker and tell Christ what he did wasn't good enough for you. Won't be a good day. So, children of Israel, the law was piled on them. The law ends is bondage and death and ends in separation from God. The children of Israel came over under Moses' leadership. Poor guy. If there's anybody in this book that deserves to go to heaven, it's Moses. He struggled with these people 40-some years. Begged God, pleaded with God, why did you give me these people? God even called him his people a couple times, relenting that he even made these people. God and Moses had arguments about whose people are they, yours or mine? I don't want them, neither do I, God. I'm going to wipe them all out. Please don't wipe them out. You know, probably wouldn't be a bad thing to do, but what are the other people going to think about it that are watching all of this take place? They know all these miracles you did to bring them out of Egypt. And you bring them out here and just wipe them out with brimstone and fire? It's going to be on the 5 o'clock news every night in Egypt. Pharaoh's going to be laughing. God says, yeah, you're right. And you think I'm sarcastic about this? No, read it yourself. That's basically the way the conversation went. He says, okay, yeah, you're right. Wouldn't look good, would it, Moses? All right, so you know what? All those that doubted when the 12 spies came in and 10 come out and said, we can't do it, we can't take that land. Two of them said, yes, we can. The other 10 caused all this disbelief in the camp. God says, everyone that disbelieved from age 20 and up, we're going to do circles out in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, just keep on the move, on the move, on the move. I'll feed you every day. I'll feed you angel food from heaven until you're sick of eating that. Then you'll cry out for meat. Then I'll send so many quail to you that you'll hate even the thought of eating another quail. You know, it was a lot of punishment in there. You pay for your sins in this life. Oh, Jesus died for all my sins. Yes, he died for the spirit man inside you to make him holy. This flesh is an abomination to God. And I tell you what, whatever you transgress against God here today in this flesh, you will pay for it in this flesh. What did Jesus say to the man who he healed? He says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Sin equals sickness and torment and death. Watch Jesus. He led a sinful life, never even had a single cold. Oh, that's impossible. No, he was never sick a day in his life because he never sinned. And he was the only one that ever did it. You know? Oh, Moses? No, Moses. Moses transgressed against God. That's why he never got to go into the promised land. God says, speak to the rock. Moses, in his weariness of these people, hit the rock in his anger and said, I give you water. No, God gave them water. Moses was a tool. So Moses, God, and Joshua, who took over from Moses, they told the children over and over and over again, when you go in this land, you must remove all the inhabitants. because the inhabitants of this land will pollute you. And if you leave any of them, you'll be cursed. There'll be a thorn in your side. If you remove them all, you will have the blessings of God for generations. It's written in here over and over and over again. Moses even wrote a book of remembrance so that they would have it a pocket copy. They wouldn't have to read the volumes. They would have a pocket copy for quick reference. What did Moses say about the Canaanites? Oh, yeah, we got to get them out of here. Yeah, right there. Yeah, page number 3. But they didn't do it. The first 3 tribes, they didn't put all the people out of their land. We're going to make them servants. And the other tribes seen that. Yeah, buddy. Look at Judah. He's rich now. He got 20,000 servants over there.
He's got to come out of his house if he doesn't want to.
Yeah. He's chopping all of his wood. Yeah, man, he's able to keep the Sabbath perfectly. He just lays in the recliner by the pool all day. He got them servants waiting on him. So all the other tribes did it too. Well, after the first 3, Joshua was in charge. Joshua says, all right, he wasn't quite the leader Moses was. Moses would have fallen on his face and called down fire from heaven and done away with this cancer immediately. Joshua, being a man of God, though, just not the shepherd Moses was, he says, okay, you left them. Just don't mingle with them. Don't give their daughters to your sons. Don't give your sons to their daughters. Do not worship their gods. Do not adopt their ways. Maybe they'll just die out. And this cancer will go away. And maybe God's blessings can still come upon you once they're all gone. But as soon as Joshua died,
almost a moment.
Yeah. And the children of Israel sinned in the eyes of God. They began to give sons and daughters to the Canaanites and those remaining in the land. And they began to adopt their ways, began to worship their gods. All the other tribes followed suit. As soon as Judah kept them for servants, they did the same thing. So now we have absolute strife in this promised land. And we're only a couple hundred years in. And God, there is no longer a shepherd. Joshua was the last shepherd because the people are spread out over a diverse area now. God has arisen judges now, and they're not a shepherd, they're more of a champion. When a problem comes up, the judge goes to that area and deals with the problem. He tries to make sure the people are following God's ordinances, but it's very difficult. Like I said, they're all spread out in their own little regions. The judge goes here and there and deals with things as it comes. We have good judges, we have bad judges. We have seen early in the book of Judges that the masculine line of the Hebrews, well, the Israelis now, masculine line of those living in the promised land has lost its way. They're no longer leaders, no longer able to follow God, no longer able to make the decisions they need to do. God is using a lot of women to shame them.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned!